Mark Snyder at PMP Network.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right.
You know, we spoke a while back about your book, We Interrupt This Broadcast.
Yes, I remember.
That was a great, great book.
Oh, thank you.
How did it do?
It did very well. It became a New York Times bestseller in about 6 weeks, and it's still doing very, very well. In fact, what most bookstores, I know all of the majors are doing, is they're marketing the two together, and The Crowd Goes Wild and We Interrupt This Broadcast.
Ah. Now, I remember when we talked last time, you had actually mentioned that you were going to do a follow-up, and you weren't sure what it was going to be, but you were thinking sports.
Right.
Obviously, you thought it right to the end. And The Crowd
Right.
Goes Wild. It's a book reliving the most celebrated sporting events ever broadcast. We're talking with Joe Garner here at PMP. And you put it together with Bob Costas, Hank Aaron, and Wayne Gretzky, right?
Right, yeah. I had, for your listeners who recall We Interrupt This Broadcast, what separates it from the other 20th Century retrospectives is that it comes with the two CDs that contain the actual broadcast bulletins and news coverage for each of the events in the book. It's always been my belief that, you know, these events have become indelible in our memories because of the way we heard them on the radio or saw them on television, as much as for the sort of life-stopping aspect of the event itself. And I felt that that sports was the same way. You know, we recall the 51 pennant-winning home run of Bobby Thompson.
Yeah.
For as much the way we heard Russ Hodges, in his declarative statement of the Giants won the pennant. And the same with the U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Russians.
Right. Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah. Do you believe in miracles? Exactly. Mm. So, because of the fact that I thought the two were inseparable, the sports book should include the CDs as well that contain the actual play-by-play and call for each of the nearly 50 that are in there.
And for folks who are listening in our Boston area, we're of course all around the country, but in the world. But in Boston, many of the events that we remember so deeply are in the book. For instance, September 28, 1960, the infamous Ted Williams finished his career with a home run.
Yeah,
and
it was,
of course,
and underscored just beautifully, I think, by Kurt Gowdy.
Exactly.
Kurt and Ted Williams were friends, you know, and Ted had tipped Kurt off to the fact that although the season wasn't over, you know, the rest of the season was going to be played on the road, and he wanted to go out there in his hometown. And,
at Fenway Park.
Beg your pardon?
At historic Fenway Park.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And also another moment for us on April 15th, 1965, Johnny Most talking about Havlicek stealing the ball.
Yeah. Another great moment. It wasn't as though it was the championship. You know, it was the Eastern Division Finals. And had Johnny Most called it in a more pedestrian way, you know, I doubt that it would have resonated for, you know, lo these many years. But, it was his inimitable style that really underscored the event. And that's why, you know, it's become a classic. You know, it's the great convergence, I guess, between, wonderful athletic moment and just the perfect call.
Hmm. Yeah, there's another one here that is a sore spot to all of us in Boston. And I actually cut it out of my CD.
What's
the October 16th, 1969, Bill
well,
Buckner.
The Miracle Mets, right, of course.
That, of course, will go down in infamy in this town, and I cut it out of my book and also ripped it out of the CD. So, scratched
right.
right out. But there's just so much in here. I mean, I believe that you have Doug Flutie in here, too, as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Hail Mary pass.
That was incredible.
Right, when Boston College won on that last, I forget exactly how many yards. What was it? Something like 84 yards?
It was
something.
A long, long pass.
Yeah.
And that was a great game. I remember sitting there watching that game with Miami because Testaverde had an incredible game as well.
Right.
And both quarterbacks were just battling back and forth. It was a great game to watch.
Yeah.
And, of course, you also have the Carlton Fisk home run where he waved it fair.
Yeah,
another one
game tied at six after regulation play. No one scored even into the 11th. It wasn't until the bottom of the 12th. One of the greatest baseball games, even Sparky Anderson of the Reds said that it was one of the greatest games he'd ever witnessed. And he hit that home run, and it was sort of sailing in an uncertain destination. You know, if it had fallen just slightly, it would have been a foul ball. But, you know, who can forget Carlton Fisk jumping up and down that first baseline, waving that ball, just praying it goes fair, and of course it did.
And then, of course, they still lost the World Series, as they always do.
Yeah, but it was almost a forgotten footnote to the fact that they lost the World Series. Yeah, the curse of the Bambino, I guess, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. I guess Boston is a great sports town, because if you look through the book, there's a ton of Boston stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the other great things, it's not really from Boston, but it has a connection, was the Larry Bird-Magic Johnson matchup in the NCAA championships in 79.
Yeah. Now, help me to understand the tie to Boston. Pardon my ignorance.
The what?
You said that event was tied to Boston in a...
Well, because Larry Bird played for the...
Oh, Boston. Right, of course. What am I thinking? I was thinking of a call. I'm thinking, okay, he was at Indiana State, and Magic Johnson was at Michigan State. I'm sorry, I was focused on the moment, and not
that's okay.
They passed into their professional careers, of course.
I mean, both of them had incredible careers, and they always were. That game was always in their minds all the
right.
time.
Yeah,
it's really amazing.
Great matchup.
It was.
You know, I mean, there wasn't anything. There wasn't a spectacular moment in that game. But it was just the anticipation of two great players.
Mm. Of course, Muhammad Ali is in the book, as you would think he would be.
We have his fight against Sonny Liston. His fight with George Foreman, and then of course Joe Frazier, and it just, you know, demonstrating throughout not just the fight calls themselves, but also the pre-fight furor that he could create, with the masterful promotional touch of P.T. Barnum almost.
Mm.
He admits he was inspired by Gorgeous George and some of the other professional wrestlers who, you know, would be so obnoxious before the fight, but just like the other thousands that filed into the arena, you know, Muhammad Ali watched... them with great anticipation.
And then on the other side of the coin is your Mike Tyson, and of course you do have the broadcast of the Buster Douglas upset.
Yeah, the Tyson Douglas upset. Right.
That was, of course, I think his state of mind was not very good at that point.
That was
when he was going through all the Robin Givens
it's
stuff.
Interesting. I'm not really certain. Of course, Buster Douglas was never able to. He wasn't able to hold on to the belt, past his next fight when he lost it to Evander Holyfield. But, it was a great story because it was truly an underdog story. I mean, I think what Tyson thought, and his promoters thought they had on their hands was, another bum.
Hmm.
To somebody for Tyson to knock out and take a purse.
Hmm. Joe, you were just changing the subject for one quick second here, because I just noticed you were an executive with Westwood One for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You were right in the middle of this radio business.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of all the consolidation and the lack of local programming now?
Well, there is... that's a loaded question. We have yet to see exactly what ramifications all of the consolidation will have. I think at its best, I think radio will always be a local medium. I think that radio is very unique to all other forms of media, I think, in the sense that we all have favorite radio stations, but very few of us have favorite TV stations. You know, we have favorite programs. But radio is always... radio was sort of at the leading edge of being very niche targeted, and that's where television is beginning to head now with more and more cable channels and of course satellite and certainly where the internet excels is that it's able to cater to the most specific interests of the audience. I think though that the unfortunate thing is that that talent is not being nurtured the way it used to be. I think that through consolidation, there's a lot of budgets being slashed. It's unfortunate that the folks that are in control are not necessarily broadcasters, but more, sort of You know, they tend to be a little bit more concerned about their shareholders than they are about their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know, is why I say that I think that you know, that we'll have, you know, that we have yet to see what real effect it'll have. I think in terms of broadcast journalism, I think it's had a detrimental effect. I think that you know, we have journalists who are better educated, certainly more well-rounded, perhaps than journalists of the past. But they're handcuffed because of the fact that you know, every time a station group gets a little bigger, the budgets tend to be, you know, slashed, and so these folks are handcuffed. So you know, it's that's why they have to, you know, to go more in a direction of entertainment and, you know, pre-produced pieces and things. And, you know, they're not capable because they just don't have the funding to be able to go out and do, you know, programming that really truly caters to the specific market. It seems a little counter to the whole creed of an FCC license.
I kind of agree with you. I think you hit it right on the head, yeah. The book is called "And the Crowd Goes Wild." These are great gift books. I'm always telling people, if, you know, we interrupt this broadcast and the crowd goes wild, are great gifts, because they not only are the books, but they have the CDs in them, and these things, you know, will bring back memories for people for a long time.
Well, thank you.
They're from Source Books, which is out of Naperville, Illinois, and really, really nice gift books. Is there another one in the works?
Well, actually, as you can imagine, when I sat down to do "And the Crowd Goes Wild," what I discovered within the first minute or so was that there was no way I was going to be able to put together the complete book of great sports moments, unless, of course, you know, we went to, you know, numerous volumes, and you wouldn't mind probably taking out a mortgage to be able to buy it. So, you know, I limited it to nearly 50 events in the first book. There's 47 to be exact, and
yeah.
It covers literally everything from baseball, basketball, football, to NASCAR, to golf and tennis, and even horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, many events that just didn't make the cut this time out that will be included in a future edition, which is a long-winded way of saying that what's next, I think, is probably "And the Crowd Goes Wild 2 if I live through this first one.
So you're not going to have a "We Interrupt This Broadcast" too at this point?
Well, actually, we are doing a revision to "We Interrupt This Broadcast," which will be out in the springtime. And I think if, you know, unless something else happens, it'll most likely include the stories that are there now, plus the impeachment of President Clinton, the Columbine tragedy in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and then the death of John F. Kennedy Jr.
Hmm. Yeah, so that'll be a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Well, the books are great. These are a lot of fun. Joe Garner is the man who put these together, and I'll never stop enjoying this. And in fact, I look forward to speaking with you again next time when the next one comes out.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
This one's called "And the Crowd Goes Wild." The other one, "We Interrupt This Broadcast." They're from Source Books. They are available in all the stores and also on Amazon.com, pretty much everywhere. In fact, it says over here, you can get them at major bookstores, or you can call 800-30-50-BOOK.
That's right. 3050-BOOK, or as you put it, there are available everywhere, from the Neiman Marcus catalog to Walmart.
Walmart has these, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I thought that's a little more expensive than the usual Walmart customer would buy.
Well, you know, Walmart tends to discount, too, not to get into too much of the retail, you know, strategies. But, you know, you can literally find it every place, and obviously I encourage people to walk into their bookstores and find it there.
We encourage you to pay full price, right?
Well, you know, good Lord willing, it'll follow "We Interrupt This Broadcast" in the sense that it'll become a New York Times bestseller, and then they always discount those.
Now, did you, when you did this book, did you get a better publishing deal than the first one?
You know, I don't know that it's really appropriate to get into all of that. I thought I did pretty well the first time out, and I really am pleased with the publisher that I'm with. You know, Sourcebooks is not the biggest. You know, they're I guess probably the second or third independent publisher. But you know, you go with a one of the majors, Random House or Simon & Schuster, you're one of, you know, in some cases, dozens, if not hundreds, of books that they release at any one time. And you're given your shot, your moment in the sun, and then that's it. And the wonderful thing about Sourcebooks, about a small publishing firm, if they're well funded, is that if they believe in a book, they're behind it. Mm. And they put all of their muscle and all of their resources behind a book, and they've done a magnificent job with We Interrupt This Broadcast. As I said, it became a New York Times bestseller in 6 weeks.
Well, of course, you were on my show. What did you expect?
That's exactly right.
You know?
And then, of course, it's done consistently well. It's been out there a year now. So it's done really well, and the crowd goes wild. We expect a nice long life for it as well. So.
Well, I'm not worried about your finances. I just got a message for you. Your Rolls Royce has been repaired and is waiting by your private plane. So I guess you're all set.
From your lips to God's ears, huh?
Take care, Joe.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to be with you.
That's Joe Garner, everybody. Bye-bye.